So, asset-based approaches. Now, my colleagues tell me that you have covered some of this already back in year two.
And three.
So this should be very much a kind of pulling together. I've pinched some of the slides from that presentation and I've incorporated some additional information. So I'm hoping that you'll all have a bit of an understanding about asset-based approaches already. So a little nod of the head if that's the case. Is it ringing any bells? Yes? Okay, all right. So, as we go through, you can shout if you already remember the kind of examples well. Okay, so most of this lecture, there's some additional information at the end about co-production, for example, is contained within here. So we're going to look at the difference between asset-based approaches and the kind of deficit model and some of the ideas associated with it, resilience, co-production. The case study, I'm kind of tempted to let you read that yourself. All the information's kind of on the slides. Because we're writing critically, of course, and thinking critically, being in level four, we'll have a think about what are some of the criticisms of the asset-based approach, and then I'll go into some more information about co-production and outcomes-focused practice. Okay, so think back then, remind me, what is social capital? Roughly? What pops into your head when people say social capital? Doesn't need to be a nice definition. What do you think about? Anything? Does the team term mean anything to you? Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you think about communities when you're talking about social capital and the networks within those communities. So, social capital networks together with shared norms, values and understandings that facilitate some kind of action, some kind of cooperation within or amongst groups. And an example of that is the Belleville community. Do you remember this example? So, this is a community in Greenock. Does anybody come from Greenock? The film clips, okay. So this was a community that got together to take action on their particular area, if you like, and the fact that there was quite a lot of kind of derelict space. Do you want to see the film clips again as a reminder? Yes, no? No, okay. So there was high risers. What happened to the high risers? Do you remember? Yep, they knocked them down. So you've got the kind of film clip of the high risers coming down and what they have since done with the resulting area. They got some big lottery funding and they got some council funding as well to kind of rejuvenate that area. And they had all sorts of ideas. So this was an area that didn't look particularly nice, that's what the residents themselves were saying. There was kind of waste, kind of ground. It was characterised by a lot of people who tended to live there who weren't perhaps working, and it had a lot of issues within the community. So it was led particularly in the examples on the video, and you can click on the links yourself if you do want to see them again, that showed older adults taking a lead within the community, and they were going to run cookery groups for younger people using vegetables from the allotments that was going to be part of this ground, and making jam and other kinds of activities. So it was about the community coming together to make best use of the environment and the space that they had.
By definition, does it exclude the public sector?
No, because it's working in hand. Well, certainly asset-based approaches. The social capital is about the resources that community has. Because the money came from the public sector to do some of the work. So they got the big lottery funding, but then they also got further funding from the local kind of councils as well. Quite a lot of funding, I think. So
the lottery funding, would that count state funding, or would that be independent part? This is kind of charitable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got charitable status.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, it's kind of linked out to what we're doing in the report. It's always just where the state's got a role in it, I wasn't quite clear on that.
Well, this is going to be some of the arguments, of course, for and against. Uh-huh. So we'll come back to that. So, asset-based approach to health and social care services then. So this is very much about building on social capital and building on the strengths of local communities. So asset-based approach is all about building on skills, knowledge, experience, network and resources that individuals and communities bring to different areas. And this is very much the type of approach that is forming the kind of foundation of health and social care policy in Scotland now. The criticisms of our kind of traditional approach, so the kind of what we call the kind of deficit model, and this type of model is perhaps, and you can argue against that, is perhaps a more kind of medical model, or a model that perhaps occupational therapists in their assessments tend to follow. When you're assessing somebody, what goes through, what are the thoughts in your head when you're doing an observation of something, and you know you've got to fill in your assessment form or write your notes, what goes through your head? You do, don't you? You're kind of looking at somebody saying, okay, they're having difficulties with that, this is going to be a challenge, and you're looking out for the kind of issues, yeah, and the kind of negative aspects, if you like, when you're observing somebody. So this is what's considered to be the kind of deficit model. So the criticisms of this model is that it's very much the kind of glass half empty. So it's focusing on the kind of negative aspects of either individuals, or if we're thinking about a community, then it's about the focusing on the kind of negative aspect of communities. So it might be focusing on the life expectancy for that community and how it varies depending on different areas within Glasgow. What are people dying from in that area? What's the hospital admission rates for, and how high are they? How is that associated with crime, employment opportunities, graffiti, things like that? So when you look at communities, it tends to be a kind of negative aspects that tends to be kind of reported. Hand in hand with that, it tends to look at healthcare professionals, so that includes OTs, of course, as being the kind of experts. We are the problem solvers that we're going to swoop in with our Superman cape on, and we are going to solve these problems, all right? So we're going to solve the problems with our clients, and we're going to solve problems when we're working with communities. So they talk about it being kind of pathogenic, focused on things that make people unwell, and coming up with the solutions to try and stop that from happening. Okay, so saying, okay, there's high unemployment in this area, so we need to do something to kind of boost jobs. Or there's nothing to do in this area, so we need to look at community initiatives to try and provide young people with more things to do, for example. So that's considered to be the kind of deficit model. And this type of approach can actually kind of cause harm. And you'll see it's very commonly reported in the press, this type of approach, The types of kind of headlines we see now in some of our newspapers, the stories that get kind of bandied about, can actually be quite harmful. And you can see examples of this in Glasgow, particularly areas where people who were seeking asylum were housed, for example. Some of the newspaper articles and headlines that we're seeing recently, can you give me some examples?
Was that one? It wasn't Glasgow.
No, kind of, yes, nationally. Give me some examples.
It was the one when there was the terrorists in London and they photographed that woman who was in a burqa walking past the scene and then, like, kind of painted her the same brush and was like, oh, like, they don't care. And she's a terrorist and posted her picture everywhere and she's just a woman.
That's right, just coping with the situation that was unfolding round about her. Other examples? Politically, what's happening in the UK that has potentially increased these headlines or had an impact on these headlines? Brexit, absolutely. So there has been discussion within our communities and our societies about the increase in hate crime that's been associated with these stories and how having these headlines in our newspapers makes it okay to start seeing some of these stories and repeating some of these comments. And you'll see campaigns now to try and, like Facebook campaigns for example, end the hate and things like that, to try and encourage advertisers to stop advertising in newspapers that are promoting these headlines. So they can cause harm. Just yesterday, I think, I saw a poster about racial kind of crime and the fact that the impact it can have on people's lives and kind of hate crime. I think it was in Buchanan bus station. So they're starting to kind of make links between inequality, stigma and harassment with these kinds of newspaper articles. So we can measure them in things like police statistics, looking at people in our society who tend to be targeted with these types of headlines. Before Brexit was in the newspapers, we had headlines about people being on benefits. People who were claiming unemployment benefits, for example, people who beg on our streets, Roma communities, all sorts of kind of different kind of ethnic or vulnerable groups within our societies. This one resonates quite well with some areas of Glasgow that are quite commonly described. One of these areas where you've got families with three generations who's never had a job, and describing kind of cultures of worklessness and people never having the opportunity to kind of gain employment skills. It's not just related to Scotland, of course. When you look at some of the examples globally, then you'll see kind of communities who have much less opportunities for employment and study and things like that, depending on what's happening within those areas. So we have an alternative approach, this assets-based approach, this salutogenesis. So this is based as the kind of opposite of pathogenesis. So instead of focusing on things that make us unwell, the idea is that we're focusing on health and well-being and things within our society that promote that. So it's about having empathy within our communities, resilience, quality of life, cultural capital, social capital, empowerment of communities to change, encouraging self-efficacy with people living within society, so to be able to change. So, asset-based approach is the kind of alternative that's being kind of sold to us. So instead of being a deficit-based model, asset-based approach is, of course, building on the strengths within the communities, telling a different stories. And the advocates for this type of approach is saying communities are never kind of developed based on their negative aspects or based on their deficiencies. Building communities has always been about mobilising capacities and building on the assets of the people and the places. So focusing much more on the positive side of things. So, if we're thinking about asset-based approaches being used within health and social care, we're trying to look at any kind of factors or resources which enhances communities to maintain and sustain health and well-being and to reduce health inequalities. Remind me what health inequalities are. Okay, economic. This side here, give me one example of a health inequality. Think of people that you've worked with. What makes a difference? What's one of the kind of contributing factors to health? Okay, so what is it about the places where somebody lives? The areas of social deprivation. What is considered to be, describe some of the words to me, if you're thinking of a socially deprived area. Good, that's it, absolutely. Something from over this side. Pollution, good. Up the back. Good. Opportunities. Thank you. So access to fresh food, good quality food that's affordable prices. Absolutely. All right. Feeling safe in your home and feeling safe within your community. Having access to housing that isn't damp, that you can afford to heat. Okay, it's no coincidence that the people who have the least amount of money pay the most for their electricity and gas. Okay, so it's about looking at all these kind of health inequalities and thinking, okay, what are the assets instead within these areas that we can build on? So the assets can operate at individual level, group level, or community to try and buffer against the kind of life's knocks and stresses, if you like. So to try and build resilience within communities. Resilience is a very kind of in fashion kind of word at the moment. So you'll hear resilience being used as a skill to be able to, for students, for example, to be able to cope with exam time. Or to the people that we're working with to be able to cope when they have setbacks or if their condition deteriorates. So this idea that communities can cope with knockbacks, so if the community is able to cope with lack of employment opportunities, so say for example a major employer closed down within an area, be it a factory or a coal mine or whoever is employing a steelworks, a large amount of people within the area, the resilience of the community to be able to cope with these kind of highly adverse conditions and what happens within that. I was looking at something at the weekend there, and it was about a community in Wales that a large jeans manufacturing plant has closed down in, a place called Cardigan. Anybody heard of Cardigan in Wales? No, near a die, but apparently most of the people within this community lost their jobs, and it was all to do with jeans manufacturing. And they were looking at the skills of the people within this area, and some of them have got together to produce their own brand of jeans and to kind of relaunch the kind of denim expertise within Cardigan. So, interestingly, they promote their brand of jeans that, and they advise you not to wash them. So they say they reckon you can go 6 months without washing your jeans. And that's part of the kind of advertising campaign. Some of your faces are quite funny. apparently you're not supposed to wash good quality denim.
If you have like good quality denim, you're not supposed to wash your
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently really good quality denim you're not supposed to wash. Anyway, that's sidetracking slightly. That's the most discussion I've heard from you so far. Okay. So, whilst you ponder how often you wash your jeans, so different types of asset-based approaches. So you have the community development type approaches, so like the Belleville community group that's seeking action. You have co-production, and we're going to kind of focus on that today. It's an alternative form of service delivery. Obviously, as occupational therapists, we're interested in service delivery, or the actual kind of community ownership and some of the kind of policy decisions to try and transfer some of the assets into community ownership. So we are going to focus on co-production. So it's very much kind of ties in with this kind of asset-based approaches. So if you are using a co-production approach, you are very much setting yourself on an equal footing with the people that you're working with. All right, so it's about taking the power out of the relationship and working together. So this kind of phrase, which as OTs is very familiar to us, services that do things with people and not to